come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled A Lamp to My Feet, Light to My Path, a study through Psalm 119. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com. Let's just get into the Word. In these two stanzas, the psalmist is in complete awe and wonder of God's word. He starts off that way, but he ends in weeping. So let's go ahead and get into this. Your testimonies, your laws are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. The entrance or the opening of God's word brings light to a darkened soul. It's like coming into if you've stepped in this sanctuary when it's dark. I mean, it's dark. And if you open the doors and there's light out there, the light's going to shine in. Getting into God's word is like that. You know, was there a time, there had to be a time in your life before you came to the Lord that you'd read the Bible and it just didn't make sense. Cover to cover, yeah. It wouldn't make sense, right? Not until we accepted the Lord into our lives that he opened that door of his word to enlighten us and give us the knowledge and wisdom. Now we read the word and we just go, why didn't I see that before? Right? So entering into his word sheds light. It's like opening the door and letting the light in. When my kids were teenagers, I was on my knees a lot. A lot. I had knee pads. I should have at least. I clung to God's promises during those times. Honestly, there were times I wondered if my son was even going to make it home safely for the things that he was doing. But God's faithful, you know, and here he is now, a young man of 33 years old and married and beautiful, you know, beautiful kids. So he made me a grandma. I'm happy about that. A lot of times I didn't know how to pray for them, so I started praying scripture. How many of you have prayed scripture before? Do you know what I mean? If you don't know what I mean, it's simply opening God's word, and when he gives you a passage or you come across something and your heart stirs for your child or the nation or whatever, you pray that back to the Lord. I was going to bring a book that I used over the years, and I forgot it, but I'll post it on Facebook for those of you that are on there. It's called Praying God's Will. They have two books, one for your son, one for your daughter. Same passages, so you could really do it with just one book. But Praying God's Will for Your Son or Daughter. And there's another one that I have now because my kids are adults called Praying God's Will for Your Adult Children. They still need our prayers, ladies. Even though we got through those teenage years, guess what? Now you've got adult children, you're going to be a grandma. So it just comes full circle again. When we enter into our time in God's word with prayer, and an open heart, the Holy Spirit will unfold understanding to us. Have you not found that to be true? He unfolds very gently and very tenderly his word to our hearts to help us understand. He brings peace and he brings comfort through his word. When you're having a tough time, do we not go to the Psalms? And we know that David went through tough times too. We find comfort in his scripture. We find comfort in the words of Jesus in the New Testament. G. Campbell Morgan says, these testimonies, meaning God's word, these testimonies are supernatural and they're superhuman. They're supernatural in their nature, being free from error. We have the errorless, inerrant word of God, ladies. There are no mistakes in this book. It is free from error. They are supernatural in their effects as they instruct, elevate, strengthen, and comfort the soul. I couldn't have said it any better. Everything in a nutshell. Everything we need is in this book right here. God's word is miraculous. And that's what that word wonderful means. It means miraculous. Okay, verse 131. I opened my mouth and panted with expectation, longing for your commands. You know what the psalmist means if you've ever traveled or walked a hot desert, right? Couples retreats down in Palm Desert. And okay, it gets really hot down there, right? And you're just praying for a cool breeze or just a big glass of cold water. Well, the psalmist was like that with God's word. He panted for it. He was so dry inside, he knew he couldn't take another step without God's word. He said, In Psalm 63, verse 1, David said, "Oh God, you are my God, and earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." And in Psalm 42, 1, he wrote, "As a deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God." Charles Bridges, who was a preacher and theologian in the 1700s, said, "Let us not enter into the testimonies of God as a dry task or an ordinary study, but let us concentrate our minds, our faith, humility, and prayer in a more devoted contemplation of them." I am guilty too many times of getting into the Word and just reading, and I don't stop long enough to contemplate on what I just read. And I think I said it last time, slow down. Slow down. You don't have to be a theologian or a college professor to benefit from God's Word. We all know that, right? The Bible is simple enough that a child can understand it, but it's deep enough that a scholar can drown in it. That's true, right? That actually is an unknown. Somebody anonymously said that. I loved it. So how do you approach your time in God's Word? You know, I don't want to see a show of hands or hear anybody shouting out. Think about it personally. How do you approach God's Word? Is it something you check off of your list of things to do that day? Or do you approach it with a passionate longing to get closer to your Creator, to your Savior? God gave everything to save us. We owe it to Him to delve into His Word and to get to know His character and how much He loves us. The writer makes four requests in verses 132 through 135. His request was for the Lord to look on him, to direct him, to redeem him, and that the Lord would shine upon him. Okay, look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is towards those who love your name. Direct my paths by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Look upon me and show me your mercy, as we saw that in verse 132. The psalmist asked God to look upon him, that God would not hide or turn his face away from him. He knew that God was in the habit of showing mercy. Sometimes we forget that. That is part of God's character. It's his habit. He can't help but show us mercy, those who love his name. Mercy means to be gracious, to show favor, and sometimes to show pity. Amen. He's pitied me an awful lot, I think. Poor little thing, she doesn't know what she's doing. All right. Mercy shows tenderness of heart, which allows someone to treat the offender better than he or she deserves. Did you get that? All right. So we've offended God with our sin, but in his mercy, he has treated us better than we deserve. If you ask my husband how he's doing, he'll usually say, better than I deserve. And it's so true. He allows us the opportunity to spend eternity in heaven with him. He treats us better than we deserve. In Lamentations 3, verses 21 through 23, Jeremiah wrote, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Praise God. The second request we see is in verse 133. He says, "Direct my steps, Lord, so no sin would have control over me." The Old King James Bible puts it this way, "Order my steps." It doesn't say direct, it says order my steps. In Hebrew, that word is kun. It's spelled K-U-W-N. It's pronounced kun. And it means to be set up, to be established, to be fixed, or to be firmly established. So he's asking God to firmly establish his steps, his path. The writers of Nelson's Illustrated Bible Commentary say this word direct or order means to make firm, to walk without halting. So as we're walking with the Lord, you know, sometimes we get halted and stopped by things that happen. You know, continue to pray that the Lord would direct your steps and keep you moving forward. Not backwards. You know, you may stumble and fall, but we're going to get up and keep moving forward, right? If no iniquity is to have dominion over us, our steps must be established by the Word of God. It has to be a daily habit. in order for us to not have sin be have dominion in our lives. So where do you get your direction? I want to say I always get it from God's word. I'm getting better at it, but honestly, the truth is sometimes I go with my feelings. Not a good thing. We're women, we get emotional, we tend to go with our feelings, right? Or maybe I go with what makes me more comfortable. I don't want to do that thing, Lord. I'll just kind of stay here. And yet I know he's directing me another way, but I'm comfortable here. Sometimes I go to friends before I seek the Lord. To me, I can't even tell you how many times I've picked up the phone to call somebody. Of course, I can't reach them because God's telling me, hello, I want to talk to you first. So I'm learning my lessons slowly, but I'm learning. I've learned that when I pray and seek the Lord first, sincerely, with all my heart, and I cry out to him, I mean, come on, he knows how we feel, right? We can't hide anything from him to just kind of, I find myself as I pray sometimes, I don't want to say certain things. It's like, how stupid is that? God already knows my heart. He knows that thought that was there. So just pray, you know, I can tell him everything because he knows everything. He's called me to walk, and I can walk with firm confidence in life when I find direction in his word. Because his word is truth. We can confidently walk in that. The psalmist wanted direction from the Lord so no sin would have control over him. And I think the psalmist knew himself well enough to know that in his own strength and limited knowledge and foresight, that he wouldn't be able to rid himself of sin. We are in these bodies, ladies, and until he takes us home, we're going to be dealing with things, with sin, temptation, all those things. Even Paul knew it, and he recognized the same danger. In his letter to the church of Corinth, he wrote, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any of them. He knew himself, but he also knew he needed to stay strong in the Lord so that would not over those sins would not overpower him and those things that were not to be part of his life. That's in 1 Corinthians 6:12, if you're writing down passages. God knows our weaknesses, and he knows what direction we need to go in order to keep sin from controlling us. We can't stress enough how important the importance of being in the Word and prayer. You hear it from the pulpit every Sunday, Wednesday, and when Joy's teaching. We have to stay in God's Word and in prayer continually, because unchecked sin in your life will eventually take control of your life. I'm a testament to that. Those little things, those little weeds that start to sprout, if they go unchecked and I don't pull it by the roots, it's going to grow into something really ugly. And that's not how I want my walk to go with the Lord, and I know you don't either. When faced with temptation to sin, God tells us in Galatians 5:16 to walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure it. Did you get that? When you are tempted, none of us is going to be without it. But God will provide a way for you to endure it. Not necessarily pull you out of it, ladies, because there's a lesson in that, right? When we go through those times of temptation, he's trying to teach us something or get us into the Word. That last one I read was in the New Living Translation. In Psalm 19, verse 13, it says, keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. We can be free of guilt, ladies, when we follow God's word and follow his direction. But what if I do sin? Well, realize that you're not alone, okay? You are not alone. We've all been there, done that. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then you know what you do? You move on to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous and just to forgive us our sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The third request he had is found in verse 134. Ransom me from the oppression of evil people, then I can obey your commandments. Deliverance. Redemption. There's so many words that we could use here. He's asking that the Lord redeem him from the oppression of evil people. Lord, don't let them violate or defraud or deceive me. There are not only dangers from sin controlling us, but also, as Pastor Guzik said, there are dangers from the oppression of man. from those who would oppose and oppress us. We see that a little bit in our society today, don't we? I want to say a little bit, it's a lot. They're trying to oppress us and hold us down. Don't get discouraged, ladies. We're in the world. It's going to happen. But we ask God, help us through that. We don't want it to oppress us to the point where we're not in his word, that we get so discouraged we can't focus on God and what he has. He didn't just want liberty from men's oppression so he could serve himself. No, the psalmist did this so he could properly obey God. So again, when those hard times come, they're for a purpose. They're for a purpose. Remember that. Wiersbe writes that we are not only set free from sin, but we're also set free from the oppression of people and the enslavement it could bring. How many of us are people pleasers? How many of us enslave ourselves into doing what other people want just to please them? And we should be focused on pleasing the Lord. Verse 134, again, that we would obey his commandments. When you are the servant of Jesus Christ, you are free from slavery to people. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, you were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men or women. Brethren, each one is to remain with God in that condition in which he was called. But I really like how the Message Bible puts that passage. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 7:23. The Message Bible paraphrases it this way. All of you, slave and free, both, were once held hostage in a sinful society. You feel that way sometimes? Hostage to a sinful society. Then a huge sum was paid out for your ransom. So please don't, out of old habits, slip back into being or doing what everyone else tells you. Friends, stay where you are called to be. God is there. Hold the high ground with him at your side. I love that paraphrase. Hold the high ground with him, God, at your side. Don't fall back into old habits. The fourth request that he made is found in verse 135. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. Look upon me with love and teach me your decrees. It sounds strange, doesn't it, to ask God to look at us with love? We almost think it's an arrogant thing sometimes to ask for something like that. But God wants us to ask because he's ready to love us. He loves us even when we don't ask, but he likes to hear it from us. It's like, you know, if your child comes up to you and says, do you love me? And as a wife, sometimes, like, do you love me? I know my husband loves me, but I ask him, why do I do that? Because I want to hear it. He likes to say it. So we can see the Father that way. That's what the psalmist is doing. He's asking for an experience of the grace and goodness of God. To know the face of God shining on his servant is to be at peace with God and to know that he is at peace with you. That's from Pastor David Guzik. I really enjoy his commentaries. Verse 136, rivers of tears gush from my eyes because people disobey your instructions. In some of the verses that we've already studied, we saw the writer's anger towards the wickedness of men who hated the word of God. He never hated the person, but just their wickedness because they refused to listen to him and to take God's word to heart. Now we see that he is possibly just worn out. Have you shared the gospel with people over and over and over again, and they just don't get it? And you get tired, don't you? You just want to give up. And you get worn out. God understands that. He did all he could to share God's word, but still many people continue to disobey God's instruction. You've shared God's truth over and over again. They're to the lost, and they just don't see it. Well, you know what? I have to stop and think sometimes when I hear other Christians say, gosh, it's so frustrating, they just don't get it. And I think, well, you know what? I didn't for a long time. We weren't all born wanting to follow God, right? I mean, at some point, you make a decision, and the gospel doesn't make sense sometimes to us until we come to him and accept him. Then it makes sense. But don't forget where you came from. Don't wallow in that past, but being gentle with those who don't get it, keep praying for them because God will open their eyes. In Romans, Paul shared his grief over the lost souls of his own people. And we should be doing the same thing with our own people. Romans 9, 1 through 3, Paul wrote, with Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief. for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. Paul says, I would be willing to forever be cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. What a heart. Do we have that kind of heart for the lost souls around us? Would we be willing? I know most of us say no, and it's probably true, but you know what? We don't have to. But we have to continue praying that they would see, that their eyes would be opened. Verse 137, the last stanza for today. O Lord, you are righteous, and your regulations are fair. Your laws are perfect and completely trustworthy. The message in this stanza is that you can depend on the Word of God. You can absolutely depend on the Word of God. People will fail us. Society will fail us, but God's word will endure, and we can depend on his word. Psalm 18, verse 30 says, God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. We could stand on that promise, ladies. That's one of those that you can pray for your children. Lord, you said you are a shield for my child. Look to him and protect him. Or even your husband or whoever. Verse 139 says, I am overwhelmed with indignation, for my enemies have disregarded your words. People just don't want to follow the Lord, and it probably frustrated him, again, as I mentioned earlier. And I have to remember that I was there at one time. But you know what? Somebody kept praying for me. Somebody kept hoping for me. Someone kept trusting in the truth of God's promises for me and his word to impact this lost soul. Do you have that kind of heart? That kind of determination for the lost souls around you, in your workplace, your neighborhood, places we go, the grocery stores, wherever it is, hospitals, wherever you're at? Do you know, and have you run into the unsaved? Of course you have. Who do you know right now? I want you to think real quick. Who do you know that doesn't know the Lord? Okay? Now stop. That name that just came to your mind needs you to not be obnoxious in sharing the gospel. They need you to be tender in sharing God's love and tender to share the opportunity when you can. We need to be prayer warriors on their behalf. They may not have anybody else. They probably do, but they may not. You may be the only person praying for that unsaved soul. God has put you in their path for a reason and a purpose. I could think of a family member right now who does not know the Lord. And I believe firmly he was placed in our family for a reason, to come to know Jesus Christ. And I will not give up on him, and I will continue to pray. God needs you to be a prayer warrior on their behalf. He doesn't want anyone to perish, right? The scripture says he wants no one to perish. So we need to be diligent in our prayer time. Verse 140, your promises have been thoroughly tested, and that is why I love them so much. Over many centuries, the scriptures have been thoroughly tested in the fires of persecution and criticism. The way a goldsmith tests precious metals. How many of you know that story of how gold and silver and everything are refined, right? It's heated, melted, the dross comes up, and it's skimmed away. And the refiner continues that process until he can see his reflection in it. Okay, so God's word has been tested. It's pure. And the world can say what they want to say and try and disprove it and criticize it, but God's word still stands true. The truth is truth, whether you believe it or not. It's truth. God's truth is forever. Psalm 12, verse 6 says, one of the joys of the Christian life is to find new promises in the word. Test them in daily life. I'm not sure if that's the New Living Translation or not, but anyway, you might want to look up that passage. I think I messed up there. Psalm 12, verse 6. So again, one of the joys of Christian life is to find new promises in the Word. Test them daily. I love listening to Pastor Jack Hibbs from Chino Hills, Calvary Chapel. And one of his messages this week was, when you're reading God's Word and you come across something, again, remember I said that I tend to read quickly and just kind of skim through it just to get it done? He said, when you come across something and your heart just kind of goes, oh, I like that. I want to live like that. Stop at that moment, write out that thing that you want to be and say, God, don't let me move forward until this is accomplished in my life. Apply the word daily to your life. There's always something for us every day, ladies, even if it's in Lamentations or Deuteronomy. God's word is alive. In verse 141, it says, I am significant and despised. I don't forget your commandments. Your justice is eternal and your instructions are perfectly true. As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. Again, that's the New Living Translation. Even though the psalmist was overwhelmed and felt insignificant and despised, he believed with all his heart that God's word is perfect truth. In his prayer for all believers, Jesus prayed this, that God would make us holy in his by his truth. He asked that the Father would teach us his word. Think about that. Jesus prayed this for all believers, not just his disciples, even for us, those believers in the future. That the Father would teach us his word, which is truth. So I'm going to challenge you, ladies, homework tonight. Read John 17 and journal your thoughts on that prayer that Jesus prayed for you. Make it personal. He prayed it for you. Check out what it is he wants for your life in John 17. It'll change your walk. The writer was under pressure and stress that weighed him down. He loved God's word, but more importantly, he trusted it. He did not forget God's law, for he knew God's justice is eternal, and God's instructions were perfectly true. He could count on them, he could depend on them, like the very air he breathed. We take that next breath in the morning, ladies, when we get up. Thank God for his word. Thank God that he let you have another day and what he wants you to do in it. You will go through times of trouble. Jesus said, you will have times of trouble, right? He didn't say maybe, or he said when you go through times of trouble and distress. But like this psalmist, you can find joy in God's word. So please remember that our feelings change. They can't be trusted. Our feelings change from moment to moment, sometimes minute by minute. Feelings cannot be trusted, but God's word never changes. The psalmist found not only joy in God's truth, but longed to understand God's word more deeply. Because look at verse 144, ladies. God's laws are always right. Help me to understand, Lord, that I may live. God, you are right, and you do right. God, your decisions are right on target. Trust him, ladies. They're right on target. I want to understand God's word so I can live the life that he has planned for me. You want to live the life God has planned for you. He has a calling on you. How many of you struggle with that? How many of you think, you know, I don't know why I'm here? You're here for a reason, ladies. Every one of you is special in his sight. The day you were born, he put his stamp on you and said, I've got a purpose for this woman. I pray that we would have that desire and that passion to find out what that is. And if you're doing it, awesome, continue doing it. If you're not sure, then pray about it. And those purposes change over time, I found. If you're young, you have a certain purpose somewhere. If you're a little older, more mature, you have a purpose somewhere. We all have a purpose until we get home. When my grandmother was passing away and the doctor told her it was terminal, she simply looked at him and said, then God's done with me and I'm ready. And she witnessed to him, so she wasn't quite done. But he, with tears in his eyes, you know, was just, my grandmother was an amazing woman. So not until she took her last breath was she going to be done until, you know, with what God had called her to do. Wiersbe says, it's not the length of life, but the depth of life that counts. And depth comes from laying hold of God's word and obeying it. This is the book that Joy had mentioned a couple weeks ago. I think, Bethany, you have this one, don't you? Yes, she has it with her. It's a big one, but it's really awesome. I want to read something to you here. God's dependable word. God's word is trustworthy no matter what people do, no matter what people say, regardless of how you feel, no matter how long you live. God's word is and always will be the last word because it lasts like God himself. And so, Father, we pray that you would give us the desire, Lord, to add depth to our lives, Father God, that we would heed your calling, Lord, that we would seek what it is our purpose is in life, Father. God, I thank you for these ladies, Father, who are so faithful to be here and study your word, Lord. And I pray that you would give them understanding and knowledge beyond what they could even imagine, Lord, that you would reveal to them your truths, your promises, your faithfulness, Lord. If she's going through a tough time right now, God, I pray that you would give her a special word, Lord, just for her, Father, and that she would cling to your promises and stand firmly, Father, that you would order her walk, Father, her steps, and that she would firmly stand on your word, Lord. I pray, Father, that their time now together would just bear much fruit, Lord, and that they would be able to go out, Father, as Pastor Bill sends us out so often, to be missionaries out in the field, Father. With all the craziness in this world, Lord, I pray that we would be shining lights, Father, that we would be and say and do everything, Lord, for your glory and your glory alone, Father, that we would not embarrass you in any way, shape, or form, God, but that everything we do and the way we behave and carry ourselves, Father, and the things we say would truly honor you and give you glory. We pray that you bring Bill and Joy home safely, Father God, that their time there in Israel was fruitful. And Lord, we do continue to lift up our nation, Father, for the current president and for President-elect, Father, that you would put your hedge of protection around them, Father God, and their families. And Father, that as we go through this transition, that we as Christians would help to unite, Father, this great nation. And Lord, thank you for having mercy upon us, Lord, and for saving us. We give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.